Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. This is Leslie Arnold hosting ACOTA, the Ancient Science of Sahaji. It is Saturday evening, July 23rd, 2016, at 6:30 p.m. on the East Coast of the United States. Welcome to the show, everyone. It's a pleasure to have everyone with us tonight. It's also a very special pleasure to have the leader of this teaching, Sri Kadavji. Sri Kadavji is the Mahaji, the living Srosha Master. He is actually the 973rd living Srosha Master in a long line of unbroken masters. And Sri Kadavji, welcome to the show, and hello. How are you doing this evening?
I'm fine, Leslie. And how are you this evening?
I'm doing quite well, thanks very much. And as you're with us every show, and it is a special honor to have you with us every show. And Sri Kadavji will be talking about some of the basic elements of the teaching, but in addition, he usually brings into further aspects, deeper aspects of the teaching as well. So even though we cover some of the same information every show, the bulk of it is not identical. So it's good to listen to each and every show to hear all the wisdom that's being offered. Now, ACOTA is a very ancient teaching, and it began, let's say, at the dawn of time, I guess would be the best way to describe that. And I wondered, Chakadaji, if you might talk a little bit about the history of the teaching, and then after that, talk about how you were given this possession.
Yes, thank you very much for that very nice intro. I appreciate that. The dawn of time is very well stated, meaning that when time began, but also it also goes before that, as you alluded to, because it has always existed even in duration. So time measures the state of being, if you will, and we can really do without time in the higher planes, but we'll talk about that further. The short definition for ACOTA is the ancient science of Sahaji, and that alludes to the idea of what you're saying in history in terms of being ancient. We can say that because the time and space comes and goes, and even the religions talk about a terminal point of the world's end of the world type business. But I assure people that's not going to happen for probably a million years. And nowadays they get into these doom and gloom things. And when the Mayan calendar ended last year, I had mentioned that somebody asked my opinion. I said, well, like Scarlett O'Hara said in Gone with the Wind, tomorrow's another day. It was a Friday. It was the end of the world. You know, so and Saturday came, you know, it was the next day, right? And here we are today, we still exist. So having said that little funny, we continue on and talk about that we really want to emphasize on the path man's essence as soul. And soul is known as the sound current that each individual can hear, a sound current within them. And that's very important and special to them because that's what they have been throughout eternity, is this light and sound within. So the light is the sound seen, and the sound is the light heard. So it's the twin aspects of what we call Srosha, which is the derivation word of spirit. Spirit means spiral. And if people will look online at our website, ACOTA.com, they can see the Srosha symbol that looks like the top of it, a spinning top, if you will. It looks like circular, and it has the stylized letters of S-R-A-O-S-H-A, which is the word Srosha. And Srosha has two words within the one word. It has Sra and Sha, which are higher Sanskrit words for sound and light. And the reason why we use those foreign terms, they call them, is because they have a higher vibration. And that higher vibration will uplift mankind and therefore can gain liberation in spirit. Now remember, when I say mankind, it's only for the ready souls. We call them the ready souls, which right now is 1% of the population. So that means that 1 in 100 people are ready souls within the Earth region of about 7.5 billion people. That means that there are 75 million people that are ready in the world, and it could be people listening in tonight who will study the books. We have free books and free membership, and study the introductory book for a while, and then maybe step onto the path with the free membership. There's really no rush, ironically. However, we stated a minute ago that, that's the Victorian we, I suppose, I stated, that the end of the world as far as the lower worlds won't be for a long time. So the urgency is in one's lifetime that if they don't step onto the path now, if they pass from this world, they'll have to be reincarnated. So we do talk about in Akasha karma and reincarnation. But we view that as an illusion, that once one steps onto the path of Akita, their karma ceases at that point. They stop making karma, and they start leading the Dharma life, which is the karmaless life. Dharma means karmaless, and only on the path of Akita can one lead a Dharma life, which means no karma. They aren't creating any more karma once they step onto the path. So that urgency in itself is that if they pass from this world, they'll have to come back. Whereas once one steps on this path of Akasha, they'll gain control of their incarnations and they can come back freely if they want to under their own volition. And that's very, very important because one gets their control back. People do not have control of their state of consciousness when they're not on the path of Akasha. I know people argue that point, but that's the nature of the 99 out of 100 that have no awareness whatsoever. I hate to say that, but it's just true. But they'll fight you tooth and nail with that. So it's better, since you have 2 feet, you can turn tail and walk away. You see what I mean? But if you're in the corner, then that's up to you. you like that?
Well, it's true. I mean, and it's an individual's choice what they want to do. So we don't foist our teaching upon anyone. It's just for those people who are ready and are open to hearing about it, whose lifetimes have brought them to this point where they're fortunate enough to be able to meet up with the Mahaji.
Right, exactly. And then what we do, like we had said before, that we present this teaching, and it's very simple when you look at it. But again, only 1 in 100 can get the simplicity and the deep wisdom that comes along with it. And that means the simplicity is that one steps onto the path, and we recommend that they do a daily contemplation, which is a 30-minute exercise. We call it a spiritual exercise or contemplation. And then one will do this daily contemplation, and in that process, they can gain the higher levels of awareness, okay, which means that they'll go to the 4 lower planes and get to the 5th plane, which is the plane of spiritual liberation. That spiritual liberation is very important because it represents the first goal in Akasha of self-realization. That means that once one gains self-realization, it's the first step of the 3 major goals. And maybe you'd like to talk a little bit about that, Leslie, the 3 major goals, and perhaps take us through a spiritual exercise, if you will. Thank you.
Okay. Well, the 3 goals that Sri Kanakji is talking about are self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. And the reason these goals are important is because it does bring you to complete spiritual liberation. So the first goal of self-realization is actually happens when a chela or a member of the path has reached the 5th plane. Now, there are various planes in the universe, but the 4 lower planes are the planes of the positive and negative energies, the worlds of duality. When you get above that to the fifth plane and above, it's pure positive spirit. So that's why it's so important when someone receives their fifth initiation and attains self-realization. And what that means is that they really have no doubts whatsoever in their life. They have complete confidence what they're doing on the inner level and actually probably on the outer level as well, because you've gained such a great confidence factor from being on the teaching for a long time. Now, one of the ways you gain this confidence is by doing spiritual exercises, which build your spiritual stamina, and I'll talk a little bit about those after I talk about the goals. But self-realization is very, very important, and there are initiations before that, and they all lead up to self-realization. So then after self-realization, the next goal that an individual is looking for is on the eighth plane, and that is where one achieves God realization. So in self-realization, we're getting a true recognition of ourselves as who we are as soul. But in God realization, we're understanding better our connection with God. And the name that we use in Akata for God is Akshar, A-K-S-H-A-R. So we're understanding that connection better, and it's just a realization that's very difficult to explain in words, but you absorb this realization the more that you're on the path. And then after that, of course, what the last goal that people are trying to achieve is spiritual mastery. Now, the wonderful thing about this path that I find is that we don't want people to be followers. We really want people to work towards their spiritual liberation by gaining self-realization, God-realization, and spiritual mastery. And there are many spiritual masters on this path. So this is a path that makes it possible for people to achieve that. There are other paths that talk about spiritual unfoldment, but to my knowledge, I don't see anyone giving mastery. And, you know, that doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
That's not possible. See, that's not possible, because only mastery can come through me, the Maharaji, the 973rd Living Sarosha Master, that holds a lot of power. Now, people think that's audacious, but there's no one else that can provide that. And the proof is, step onto the path and see what you experience. See, that's the nature of experience, and you can sense the energy and the power of action. That's what really is sometimes the problem, is people are afraid. They have fear. And once one, it's like with an animal, people notice that it's really interesting how subtle that animals pick up fear within the human being. It doesn't take much, it's a tiny little bit. It's the same nature of when people are out there in the world, since they're creators and don't know that, their teaching doesn't teach them that they create everything around them. See, and then what happens is the reactions to the creation is so subtle that when fear is instilled, there's a reaction to it, and then you have to work that out. See, so that's the issue that people face each day, that they go into their creation thinking it's secondary to them, when in reality, it's their own creation. And that's why there's issues like agoraphobia, that people don't want to even go out of their houses, because they know innately that they're the creator. They're afraid of what they've created, and they should be, because they don't really know what they're doing. They're introverting mostly. Like in America, mostly people are introverted. They shield away. They don't make eye contact. They don't outflow very often. And, I mean, very rarely, especially in the big cities, it's a big shielding thing. They even talk about shielding. I always wonder, who taught that? What religions? It's just these innate, distinctive, deep, esoteric things that come to pass, but they don't know where it's coming from. You see, so the 1 in 100 are the enlightened souls that need to find their way to the high path. But the 99 out of 100 are just fodder for incarnations. They're not going to make it, so they're gone. You might as well wave bye-bye to them as they go by. I mean, I'm being facetious somewhat, but there's a reality to that whole thing. It's like I always say, if you get in an argument and win an argument, you create an enemy. So it's better to be with agreeable people in your life. People know people that are agreeable in their life, and you need to nurture that. You need to nurture people that are goodly to you, and get away from people that challenge you. But see, that's the word in itself is a challenge. You see people want to get into an argument to see if they can defeat what they consider an enemy, and in reality, they just make a bigger mess. So the idea of coming to the path of Akashev for that 1 in 100 is to do a daily contemplation. Albeit it looks like it's very passive, but in reality it's very active because you're moving to higher planes of existence. There's a motion, there's an activity there that raises the consciousness of everything around us when you do that. See, that's the important part of this whole thing, that people think that contemplation is a passive act. It's not like meditation. Meditation is very passive. When they're trying to get rid of everything in their consciousness, and the Buddhists have this saying which really bastardizes the when it speaks it's silent, and when it's silent it speaks. It's those who don't know don't know. Those who speak don't know, and those who know don't speak condemns the person that speaks. And we don't say that because in reality, when you're a biological unit, when you speak, you're really being silent when you're talking, because harmonic sound is silence. You see what I mean? That means I'm in total harmony when I speak, and I'm completely silent. So this evening, in the past several minutes, I haven't said a word. I mean, that's really interesting, isn't it, Leslie? See, I've been totally silent. But people don't understand that, see? They don't appreciate the harmony of biology because it's been tormented by the Victorian, post-Victorian age of the industrial complex, and there's been noise instilled in the earth region, and that's what causes the inharmonies, is the noise. And there's the nature of that. Once one comes to Akashev and they go inside and do some contemplations, they learn to appreciate their quiescence, their quiet time. They learn to appreciate that for that 30 minutes a day, which is very important. And they let the body rest, and then they leave the body and move onto the higher, more subtle planes. What's our timing like? I haven't looked at my glasses.
We still have about 12 and a half minutes left. And I haven't gone through the process of the spiritual exercise, so if you'd like, I can go ahead and go forward with that.
Oh, yeah, go ahead and do that, please. Thank you.
And what I do want to say about the spiritual exercise is this really is the whole modus operandi of the path. This is how one facilitates your spiritual unfoldment. This is why we recommend it. We highly recommend it to be done daily. Now, of course, we can't set this as a mandate, but if people are sincerely interested in spiritual unfoldment, they will take 30 minutes a day to do this contemplation exercise. Now, there are different types of contemplation methods that can be done, but I'm going to go through a basic one that's very good to use because we use a very high vibration, a mantra with extremely high vibration, so that is good for everyone to use. When somebody does step onto the path of Akashev, they do receive their own mantras with each initiation that you get. But the hue is the mantra that we recommend using before that. And, of course, you can use it any time after as well. But hue, spelled H-U, is just a very high vibrational word that does mean God as well. And the way that you pronounce it when you're chanting is just as it sounds, you. And what happens is because of the vibration level of this, it does dissipate any kind of negativity that is either within you or without you when you use it. It's extremely powerful and can be used in all types of situations, but it has amazing effects when you use it daily in a contemplation method. So when we do our contemplations, we're seated comfortably. You can sit tailor fashion, Indian style, if you may, or with your feet flat on the floor. You want to be in a quiet place when you're doing this at home. And, you know, if there's traffic noise or any kind of extraneous noise, try to turn off any kind of machinery that's causing the noise. If it's within the household, or if it's coming from outside and you don't have control over that, use your earplugs. That's always a good thing to do to make it as quiet as possible. And what we do is put our attention, we close our eyes, take a couple of deep breaths to relax, and put our attention on either the crown chakra, which is the highest chakra, that soft spot on the top of the head where the soul of the baby enters the body before birth, or you can also use the tizzertil, which is also known as the third eye, the spot above the bridge of the nose, just between the eyebrows. Now, those are the two highest chakras. We don't recommend using any other chakra than those. And what we do is put our attention gently there on whichever chakra you use, and then we chant the word heal. Now, before I actually do a short exercise, I want to mention there's different experiences you might have. You might see a bright light, which is Srosha spirit. It can be seen as a white light or the inner blue light of the master. You can also hear a high-pitched electrical sound, which is the sound current spirit is heard as sound and seen as light. And you also might hear it in different ways on different planes. You know, for instance, if you're on the soul plane, if you're traveling on the soul plane, it can be heard as a single note of a flute. So there's different sounds for each plane. But if you hear it as a high-pitched electrical sound, that's just fine. That's spirit. And that's your sound to listen to. It's very, very important because that propels your spiritual unfoldment. You might also have a vivid out-of-body experience, which is not, you know, uncommon. When you do your spiritual exercise, you might travel to a temple of golden wisdom and sit in on a satsang with one of the other masters. You can do many different types of things. But for now, I just want everyone to listen to this and join in if you'd like, just to experience what it feels like to chant with you just for a few moments. So I'm going to begin, and it sounds like this. Baraka Prasad, which means may the blessings be. Shri Kadashi?
Yes, that's me.
Would you like to add? I know that's you. Would you like to add anything to that?
Well, thank you very much, Leslie, for taking us through the Q chant. It's a very special practice to do. Obviously, it's a very quiet, gentle practice, but also it has the most power of all because each individual is tapping that source of the God force within one. Each individual is a spark of the divinity, and that means that they talk about in the East that a man or woman is a minimum 10,000 sons of power in soul. So we're talking about what appears to be a very contemplative, quiet practice, but after said, one is experiencing the power of the universe. So when people say, well, it's not for me because it's not a truck or something, you're driving a truck around. You like that, driving a truck around. But, it's not macho, right? But I'm saying it's the most powerful thing that you can do. So there's a great irony in that whole thing in terms of what appears to be something not powerful. See, that's a big issue nowadays, but it's not an issue for the ready soul. The ready soul understands the spiritual power and not lower world's nonsense of negativity. There's a lot of negativity in the world, the physical world, but you can get in the middle between that. And ACTA is what opposites have in common because it's neutrality. The word itself means equilibrium. So you get into the equilibrium, and serving up coal is the most powerful thing that one can do. And that's very difficult in this world of of extreme emotions and all the nonsense that goes in the Iron Age. We're in the Iron Age, which is the lowest cycle of the cosmic day. But having said that, one can neutralize it within their own self. You can rise above it, as Leslie said earlier. And we talk about that all the time when we rise above it in the sound current. When we hear the sound current, we dwell on the fifth plane of liberation. But to sustain that, one has to gain self-realization. When one realizes their true identity, it brings complete and utter confidence within the individual. So in other words, there's no questioning any longer who one is in terms of self-realization. And people know what I'm talking about. It's a matter of knowing this. You cannot know something until you've experienced something. So ACATA is an experiential path. It's about supreme experience within one's life that one can gain by going within. It's very simple. It's not a complex deal at all. And that's why sometimes it eludes people, because they're not really, their attention level is at not at the point of readiness. One who's ready, nothing we say is a riddle to them. They know exactly what we're talking about, and nothing is too complex that they can't sort out, or too simple. You see what I mean? So it's a matter of being aware and then making a connection with the sound current. So our huge chant avails people that opportunity to feel that essence. You have the feeling of the Sarosha. Your feelings are intact, which is very important. You don't give up your feelings or emotions, or don't give up anything. If anything, you augment what you already are. See, it's not a matter of giving up anything. It's a matter of gaining things to gain a higher levels of awareness. So we have some pretty good wisdom this week, I think. Don't you agree?
I think so. Yeah, thank you, Sri Kanaji. Certainly do. And I appreciate that. And I do want to mention that that Sri Kanaji is going to be giving a series of talks in the Philadelphia area. And the next one that's coming up is August 9th at 6:30 p.m. at the Philadelphia Central Library in room 108. And the Philadelphia Central Library, which is a very large Grecian, Roman Greco-style library, it's very beautiful, is on 1901 Vine Street in Philadelphia. And so again, it's August 9th at 6:30 p.m. That's the second Tuesday. And you're welcome. There is no charge for it, just like there is no charge for anything we do on this path. So you're welcome to come to that talk. If you're going to be in the Philadelphia area or would like to make the journey to the area just to hear and meet Sri Kadavji, it's a special opportunity. And I want to mention, if you want to look at the website, you'll see when the other talks are being given as well. And that's ACATA.com. So there's also free books that you can download on the website. If you've been listening for a while and you think you're ready to take a step to become a member on the path, there's an application, no charge for it, of course, but just to keep track of your initiations and where your membership is. That's basically all that's for. So please avail yourself. There are audios of Sri Kadavji on the website, books, as I've said. There's several wonderful books that Sri Kadavji has written that you can read. And then again, if you have the opportunity, come to the Philadelphia area on August 9th at 6:30. Now, I want to thank everyone for being with us this evening. And as you know, we're here most Saturday evenings at 6:30. And if you want to go back and listen to some of the previous shows, we have hundreds of shows that are in the archives, and you can certainly go to the Blog Talk website and find those and listen to those at your leisure. But I do appreciate all of you who've been with us tonight, and we hope that you'll join us again, and we hope that some of you might make it to Philadelphia. And with that, I wanted to give you the opportunity, Sri Kadavji, because I do thank you especially for being here this evening and for all the enlightenment that you are imparting this evening. And I would like to give you the opportunity to close this evening's session, if you would.
As the master raises his right hand, palm facing out, and says to everyone, I am always with you. May the blessings be Barak and Bashan.